Awakened listeners, before we jump into today's sermon, I want to invite you to be part of our most exciting opportunity yet. It's called the Vision Fund. Isn't that a great name for a blind pastor? And you know, my job as a blind pastor, it's to help people trust a God they can't see. But I need your help to fully accomplish what God has set before us. Generous friends have come together to create a $25,000 match. This fund is going to be available through the months of April, May, and June. And when listeners just like you decide to come alongside us and partner with us in sharing this gospel the way that we are, well, every dollar you give will be matched dollar for dollar. So friends, come alongside us and help us impact even more. You can go to my website, chadroberts.org. Click the link on the homepage called Vision Fund and learn more, because together we are reaching so many. We're on many platforms, but we need listeners just like you to continue to go forward. Join us today, the Vision Fund. Check it out at chadroberts.org. Welcome to Awaken to Grace. Today is part two of a wonderful sermon called Better Promises. Friends, I'm Chad Roberts, and I'm your Bible teacher with Awaken to Grace as we are walking our way right now through the entire book of Hebrews. And we're in the glorious chapter, what many call chapters 7, 8, and 9, and 10. It's the heart of Hebrews. And we're right in the thick of it. And right now, today, we're talking the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Why is the Old Covenant, as chapter 8 says, obsolete? And what is this New Covenant, the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Friends, there are treasures to be found today in the Word of God. And I'm glad you're walking through it with me. If you've never downloaded my free mobile app, go right now and download it on your device so that all of the content that we create at Awakened to Grace, well, friends, it'll be right at your fingertips. Well, let's get to God's Word today, Hebrews chapter 8, as we continue part two of this sermon, Better Promises.
You are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Now, Abraham is our father. Now, Ephesians 2:12, we are now no longer strangers to God. We're no longer outside the commonwealth of Israel. We're no longer alienated from the covenant of God. We are now brought near because of the blood of Christ. Amen? And Christ's blood, listen what it says it did. The cross broke down the wall of hostility between us and God. And now we're brought near. Why? Because we have a mediator that has obtained a much more excellent, superior ministry than any high priest. Can we say amen today? So what is the point? The point is that Israel was faithless, and God discarded that generation and said, no, but God was going to stay faithful to himself. And what does the scripture say in Timothy? When we are faithless, God remains faithful. Amen. And now there's a better covenant. It's a blood covenant. It's the work of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about religion in the old covenant anymore. We're talking redemption, that we're purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We belong to God, not because we go to temple. We belong to God, not because we make sacrifices. We belong to God because we're redeemed by the blood of his Lamb. Amen. And now we are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual act of worship. We don't bring oxen. We don't bring bulls. We don't bring goats. We don't bring lambs. We don't bring pigeons. We become the living sacrifice. And God makes us holy and acceptable in His sight. Remark, what a better covenant. Now, what's the better promise? Verse 9, this isn't going to be like the old covenant. It's not going to be what he did with the fathers. It's not going to be as when he led them up out of Egypt and they were faithless. That's not what this is. Verse number 10, what is this covenant? This is the new covenant. That God is going to take his law. Remember what the law was originally written on? Stone tablets. Do you know why the law was written on stone tablets by the finger of God? Do you know why? Because God wanted forever to show humanity our hearts are hardened toward God. We are a rebellious people, are we not? You know, we were talking in the marriage conference, and I don't know why. And when I said this, I had some guys come up to me and be like, you know what? You're 100% right. I don't know what it is. Listen, I love Sadie. I do, okay? But when she says, Chad, will you take out the trash? Do you think I mind to take out the trash? No, not at all. Is taking out the trash a big deal? No, not at all. Look at my face. I don't mind at all. It's fine. But when she says, Chad, will you take out the trash and will you do it right now? Why does it have to be done right now? What? And then, and I don't know if you ever have this at your house, but then, if I don't do it right now, which I don't understand that, then guess what she does? She takes it out. And then it makes me furious, and she's mad, and I'm mad, and we're not going to have a prayer meeting that night. You know what I'm saying? I'm mad. Why is that? And there is a real answer. It's rebellion. Tucked deep down into my heart. And it don't surface all the time. But there are some times it surprises me because it rises to the surface. And if I'm that way, just with Sadie, how easy it is for me to be that way with God. We are a rebellious people by nature. The law was written on stone by the finger of God because he wanted to tell humanity for all generations, your heart is hard. But now look what this new covenant does. See, this is a better covenant. And why is it better? Because it's a blood covenant. This is enacted. This is legality. What do you mean legality? Colossians 2, 13, 14, 15. It's not bodily circumcision any longer. It's a circumcision of the heart. What? That cold, stony heart. Now it's circumcised by God. It's now a heart of flesh. It's now beating. It's now alive. It's now tender toward the things and the word of God. It's now receptive. It's now responsive toward God. Oh, what a miracle. Amen. And God says, I'm going to take a people and I'm going to take a group. And it's not just going to be one nationality. It's going to be among all nations. Amen. And it's not just going to be Jew, and it's not just going to be Gentile. It's going to be one kingdom, amen. One peculiar people who I'm going to make a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a chosen people. And I'm going to take out the heart of stone, and I'm going to put in it a responsive and a receptive and a tender heart toward the things of God. Friends, that is a miracle of all miracles. And God says, I'm going to take you beyond religion. See, when I read this verse, these verses, oh, it makes my heart cry out, God, I do not want to be religious, God. I don't want to check boxes. I don't want to go through motions. I don't want to just have lip service toward you. God, I want you in my heart. And look what God says he's going to do. He's going to take his law and he's going to put it upon our minds. Oh, you know what I think about when I hear that? Do you remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? And do you remember how Jesus... What's the scripture say? He opened their minds to the scriptures. That's a great prayer for you to begin to pray. God, open my mind to your word. Every day when you sit down with the word of God, say, God, open my mind to it. See, the carnal mind cannot receive the things of God. The carnal mind can't understand the things of God. Now, does that mean you're going to understand everything? No. Don't let the devil tell you that if you don't understand everything, you're not born again. That's not true, right? That's why you grow, right? Someone give me a time check. What time is it? 11:41. Oh, good. Okay. I'm coming to the good part now. All right. A carnal mind cannot receive the things of God. And now God says, but here's what I'm going to do. You're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, think this way. If anything is true, if anything's lovely, if anything's pure, if anything's honorable, admirable, godly, think on these things. And our minds are transformed. Our way of thinking is transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the word of God. And he's going to take his law, he's going to put it in our mind. And here's what he's going to do. This is so beautiful. He's going to write them upon our hearts. No longer is God going to engrave on stone tablets. He's going to engrave his word upon our hearts. Is that not the most beautiful thing? Do you know what he's saying? Now say amen if you're with me right now. Someone has said it well. John Piper said it really well. I believe that's who said this. The old covenant, that tabernacle, okay? What we saw in verse 5, the shadows, not the reality. That was a come and see religion. Remember Queen of Sheba coming up from Ethiopia? That was everybody go to one location and everybody see. It is a come see religion. Do you know what the new covenant is? Far better. It is a go tell Jesus. Amen. You know, I have no idea what our attendance is today, but I assure you of this. The primary goal of this church and this leadership is not to fill every chair in this building. As God blesses us and we build on Fort Henry Drive, everybody keeps asking me, how many are we building for? I'll give you the honest answer. I don't know. But at the end of the day, even when that building is built, the goal is not going to be to fill every chair. We are not a come see. We are a go tell. Amen. So what this new covenant does. So he writes the law upon our hearts. Parents, grandparents, I want to encourage you. That's the right prayer to pray for your children. God, write your laws upon their minds and hearts. Etch it into their heart, God. Because see, the old covenant, all it was behavior. All it was doing the right things. That's not the new covenant. The new covenant is not sacrificing to God. The new covenant is experiencing God in your heart and in your mind. See, if you pay attention, that's why I always say, God, I want you to shape. I want you to form. I want you to mold the way I think and the way I feel. Shape my mind and shape my heart. The way I process life, the way I react, the way I respond, the way that I think, I want you to completely shape my thinking and my affections. Why? I want his law written in my mind and in my heart. It's not going to be black words on a page. Or it's not going to be a stone tablet etched. It's going to be within the heart. What a beautiful thing. And then, where am I at? Verse 11. Give me the first phrase of verse 11. And they shall... Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, again, he's going to drill down on that. It's not going to be a religion that you learn. It's not going to be go to a seminar or go to seminary. How thankful that we are. You don't have to have major degrees to understand God or the scriptures. You can have 0 degrees. You could take someone that can't even read and they can know God. Hallelujah. Amen. And look what it says. It's not going to be an instruction as in know God. No, look what God says. They're all going to know me from the least to the greatest. People can know God. You can know God. Hallelujah. You can know him. And it doesn't matter what your education or income level or any of that. Listen, none of that matters with the Lord. None of it matters. Amen. Now, verse 12. Give me the first phrase there, please.
For when there is a change.
Oh, with a... Oh, yes, yes. Now, look what he says here. This is, what are we saying? Better promises. Better promises. What was the fault of the old covenant is that they were faithless. That was the fault. But look at the better promise of the new covenant. I will forgive their iniquities. Their sins I will remember no more. Now, what does that mean, church? Does that mean that God forgets things? No. See, people don't understand the weightiness of what the term remember sins no more means. It doesn't mean God forgets. If God could forget something, he wouldn't be God. Have you ever thought about that?
Yes.
You remember those old movies, Men in Black? I remember that ink pen they had. And it just erased your memory. People think that's what God does. And it just erases it. No, he wouldn't be God if he could erase his memory like that. It doesn't mean that he forgets your sin. No, it's a far more beautiful meaning. To remember no more means that God doesn't hold our sin against us. See, some of you struggle. I hear often in my counseling office, I'll hear someone say the famous phrase, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. People who say that don't understand the meaning of God remembering our sins no more. And precious friend, if you'll understand what God means, you can come into the place where you'll never forget what that person did to you. But you can, because you have God's nature inside you, you can come to a place where you don't hold it against them anymore. That's forgiveness. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And Satan's got some of you tripped up because you think that because you can't forget it, you're unspiritual. And the harder you try to forget it, the more it buries deep in your memory bank. And then Satan's right there on your shoulder going, see, you're not a spiritual person. You don't love God like you think you do. You just play in church. You're playing religion. You're not who you think you are. No. You probably won't forget. But that's not the point. The point is be like God. Don't hold it against them. That's forgiveness. Can we say amen to that today? And now finally, verse 13. What does he say? Well, this speaking of this first covenant, what does the better promises do now? What does the blood do of this new covenant? It makes the first covenant, here's the key word, obsolete. And that's why some of our brothers and sisters who would major on the Torah, and they would major in the roots of the Old Testament. Listen, it's good to know. And I mean, it was God's. Listen, if Hebrews proves anything, Judaism had God's seal of approval. But don't get stuck. Don't drift away from Christ. Because the old law and the old covenant, it's obsolete. I remember when I had eyesight, one of the coolest things was watching the sun rise and you could still see the moon. You remember how that sometimes happens? You can see the moon while the sun is right. Friends, that is the book of Hebrews. The church was rising. Christ, the language of God, the new covenant is rising, and the moon is about to fade away, which was Judaism. What's the point today? The point is that every one of us should be disciples in the Lord. How? Because God writes his law in our minds and our hearts. You know, this week when we were in Nashville, I had many, many conversations with thought leaders and gatekeepers and tremendous influencers in Christianity. And Sadie and I would sit down with them, and they were so kind to us, and they would say, tell us your story. But I'll tell you this, and I told it a number of times. Yeah, my story is blindness. Okay, whatever. But let me tell you Sadie's story. Sadie was a religious person until several years ago. She checked all the boxes. She did all the religious things. She came to church. She was a pastor's wife, for crying out loud. But there was a time when Sadie drew a line in the sand and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Not in a religious way. Not in a go to church on Sunday morning. In a way I want it in my heart. And I have watched Sadie over these last 5 or 6 years. And I've watched her go from needing to be discipled to doing the hard work of being discipled to now she's the greatest disciple maker that I know. And now she's making disciples. Do you know what made the difference? When she let God write on her heart, that's what made the difference. What about you today? Do you check a lot of good boxes? You probably do. But has God ever taken out the hardest stone? Has God ever got a hold of your pride? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if your heart has never been transformed, if your mind, your thinking has never been transformed, let me tell you, my friends, there's a better covenant today. And it's enacted, it's built upon, it's based upon better promises. And God wants to do a work in you today. Right where you are, whether you're in the building or you're watching online, I want to invite you right now. I want to invite you to pray with me right now. And God's going to transform your heart in the name of the Lord Jesus. You say, Chad, I've got many faults. Yeah, but God's faithful. Chad, I got a past like you wouldn't believe. I know. But God's bigger. I want you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, take out this heart of stone and put in a tender, ready, responsive heart to you. Forgive all the sin of my life and make me new. I receive you today as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Take Awakened to Grace with you on the go. When you download Awakened to Grace on your device, you will have access to hundreds of resources we create, all for free. Sermons, music, articles, and more. Download Awakened to Grace wherever you get your favorite apps.